Our present class is on prayer and specifically on self-knowledge through prayer. Remember what we're doing. They're going through a series of topics. The last one was on why must we pray our needs. Now the third is self-knowledge through prayer. If we can, I'd like to get into section 4 before the day is over. When we speak of self-knowledge through prayer, we make a number of assumptions. The first assumption is that we do not naturally, none of us, naturally knows ourselves as well, as clearly as we should. However, when we speak of the need for prayer, for self-knowledge, we don't merely mean, or even mainly mean, knowing ourselves as persons. We first and mainly mean knowing ourselves as believing human beings. In other words, the knowledge that we need is not only the down-to-earth practical knowledge of living up to God's demands in our lives. What we need is knowledge of our faith, and consequently, if we ask, why do we need to pray? There are three basic reasons. So the need, we first of all need supernatural life. Then we need knowledge, and we need strength. When we're baptized, we receive the sacrament of baptism and also the supernatural life of God in our souls. However, it is one thing to have received the supernatural life when we're baptized. It's something else to retain that life. In all the baptisms in the world will not preserve us in the supernatural life unless we pray. Moreover, a person may have had the supernatural life, God's grace, had baptism, but lost it. Again, a person who is not in the grace of God, a person who is not in the grace of God cannot, and the verb is cannot, come back to the life of God without prayer. Well, that's not our focus now. In other words, if we need prayer for three reasons, The first of those reasons is because of our supernatural life. Either to retain it, or to grow in it, or to have it restored. I think it might be wiser not to distribute anything during class. If you don't mind, please. Thank you. So first of all, we need prayer for the supernatural life as we've just been describing it. To retain it, to grow in that supernatural life, and to restore it if the grace has been lost. Then just to skip to the bottom, we need prayer in order to grow in strength. What kind of strength? The strength of will to remain firm in our service of God. And I suppose for most people, most prayer is prayer for strength. And God knows we need it. However, our focus is not on either the supernatural life or on the strength we need, and therefore need to pray in order to obtain the strength without which we would not remain faithful to God's will in our lives. Our focus here is on knowledge. And remember, we are speaking of self-knowledge through prayer. So we first ask then, why? Why do we need to pray? For self-knowledge. We first of all need to pray for self-knowledge because we are creatures. We need grace, therefore, because we are not divine. And not only are we creatures, and therefore are we finite. Only God knows everything, and needless to say, we, to put it very mildly, not only do not know everything, we don't even know everything that we need as creatures in our lives. Moreover, you're living by faith. And consequently, our knowledge is not the knowledge we will have when we reach, please God, our heavenly destiny. We live on faith. And because we live on or by faith, we have to be constantly enlightened in our faith to know what God wants. And remember, because we have to live on faith, we cannot, and the verb is we cannot, really fully understand the reason for anything, the ultimate reason for anything where we believe is hidden in the mind of God. Our mind, therefore, has got to be constantly enlightened by God's grace. Because we are first of all creatures and therefore limited, finite in our knowledge of anything, including and especially ourselves. And because we have to live on faith. There are so many things, all the important things in our lives, we take on faith. God then must enlighten us. But hear it. God will not enlighten us in spite of ourselves. Either we have the humility to ask for light, or we will not see. Secondly, we have a fallen nature. Not only are we creatures, therefore, limited in our knowledge of everything, including ourselves, but we have a fallen human nature, because of which our minds have been darkened. Conor Ratzinger, you know, the Pope's prefect of the Congregation for Sacred Doctrine, he said publicly on one occasion, if he had nothing else to do but to teach theology, he would spend the rest of his life teaching people the meaning of original sin. We have a fallen human nature. That is why such blasphemous idiocies as the New Age or the New Creation are so devastatingly false. You just don't teach children, for example, the most intimate elements of sex knowledge from before even the first grade. You've got a fallen human nature. And consequently, we not only have to, so many things, we have to avoid being unnecessarily aroused or stimulated. But with all the protection in the world that the world can give us, we need God's grace. Why? Because original sin has blinded us. And the most dangerous kind of blindness is intelligent blindness, especially educated blindness. The most dangerous people in the world are the unbelieving doctorates in the academic world. Sporting one myself, I can talk this way. But my fellow academics, because we have all fallen human nature, our minds, and the word darkened is actually a kind word. They've been blinded. Yet we're going to get the grace to know, in spite of our fallen human nature, understand our faith, believe, say, in the real presence. And not as one of the sisters in Tijuana, told me. They came from any number of countries where a conference given to the people and the priest in the presence of the bishop of the diocese tells the people that adoration of the Holy Eucharist is a modern form of idolatry. And I repeat, Our fallen human nature has blinded our minds. We therefore need grace. We're asking, why do we have to pray? Because our minds have been darkened, to use the weakest verb, by original sin. But we go on. Why do we need to pray for our self-knowledge? We need life from God because we are sinners. Every time we sin, we darken our minds. Every time. A small sin darkens our minds, well, slightly. A graver sin darkens our minds, well, more darkly. And a grave sin, a mortal sin, hear it. A person who commits a mortal sin may still keep the virtue of faith. You know that. May still have the virtue of faith. But that faith is terribly obscured and unable to see even the obvious things that a person should do. That is why, in serving the church, and because of the work of the church, certain people need to be involved, well, to serve. And normally because Holy See does not pay me any money, so I cannot pay people any money either. I don't have the money to pay with. The first thing you're told to look for in the people that are going to be working for the church is people who are not living in sin. People living in sin cannot think straight. And what is most deceptive, if they can be naturally intelligent and academically educated, can write books, Skillebecks writes books, Hans Kuhn writes books, Richard McBrien writes books, and I'm restraining myself and not giving a longer list of names. Very intelligent. And when it comes to understanding the truth, they might just as well be not only young children, they might just as well be, and I mean it, irrational animals. And because my life is dealing with the academically educated world, again, I didn't used to talk this way years ago, but I do now. Sin blinds the mind. Sinners will do the craziest things. And that they even have invented, well, sciences to assure themselves they are sane, like the American Psychiatric Association voted. So that settles it. That homosexuality is not an emotional disorder. And so now those who are having difficulty, say priests, in coping with some of the horrendous things going on, and they are told, I know because I deal with these priests. Your problem is, you have been educated to see guilt in the enjoyment of sexual pleasure outside of marriage. I'm trying to illustrate a principle. The principle is, sin blinds in lines beyond human comprehension, why then must we pray for self-knowledge in order that our minds, being weakened and darkened not only by the original fall of our first parents, but by our own sins, might be enlightened by a mind that, of course, knows what we need to know, but we must invoke that mind. There's maybe new language for some people. We've got to invoke the divine mind so that that mind might enlighten our minds. We go on. What's the need? What do we need in terms of what we're calling self-knowledge? There are two levels. We need to pray for self-knowledge in order to enlighten our faith. And we need to pray to obtain grace from God to enlighten us to love God. First then, we need prayer because we need light to continually enlighten our minds. First, understanding. In a country like ours, the most academically sophisticated nation in human history, our annual average is 5 million Americans on college campuses. We are, by all odds, the most educated major country since the dawn of man. We know so much about so many things. But at the same time, even as I say this, and have over the years telling people, I ask the Lord, Lord, would you please help those to whom I'm speaking to see what I'm talking about. We wouldn't be here unless we have the faith. We believe. And by now, no doubt, we have memorized many of the catechism answers. You'll know how many persons there are in God. Most people know how many natures there were in Christ. How many natures did Christ have?
Two.
Many people, but not all, even Catholics, know how many persons that were in Christ. How many persons? One or two?
One.
How many?
One.
You say two. Okay. Thanks. See, this justifies. Oh, God bless you. Christ? No. We are talking about understanding the faith. It is one thing to believe, but what a difference, what an ocean of difference. And for 11 days I was on the coast of the Pacific. What a difference between having the faith and understanding what we believe. It's like having your hands wet with water and looking at the expanse of the Pacific Ocean. Why must we pray to understand what we believe? Just for the record, Christ is one person with two natures. And may I further ask, if Christ is one person, is he a divine person or a human person? Well, I'm asking these questions honestly, not to humiliate you. Though I tell people, when I ask a question, you know the answer, you're practicing charity. If you don't know the answer, you're growing in humility. To understand what we believe and there is no amount of study, all the theologizing of the world is so much wasted effort. As I've told my Jesuits for 25 years and teaching them theology, what you fellows most need is to be men of prayer. It is prayer that will enlighten us to know and understand and increase daily in our grasp of what we believe. We're talking about the need, first, to understand our faith. It's one thing to say that we have the faith. Thank God we do. It is something quite otherwise to have the same mind which believes. To have this same mind which believes also grasp the meaning of what it believes. I may believe that God's providence is in charge of the whole world, but what a difference between believing that and seeing that in everything, in everyone, in every which, in every who, in every when, in everywhere, in everything in my life, God is active. That nothing ever happens with God by chance. Nothing. So that when somebody ignores me or somebody is unkind to me or someone is so preoccupied with him or herself as to be oblivious of what I need or want, to see God in that insult, to see God in that act of cruelty, my friends, my dear friends, you don't read that in books. You must pray, and pray when? Pray when you need it. Unless we pray, we will not see. And we react as human beings react, who do not grasp the meaning of a very casual and much worn word, divine providence. They go on. What do we need? We need clarity in our faith. If there is one word that would describe the modern world, including so much of the modern Catholic world, in what the Holy Father calls super-developed countries, in which he includes the United States. Yeah, there is one description. It is confusion. What does the Catholic Church still believe? You read 10 nominally Catholic magazines, and you'll come up, depending on the magazines, with 10 different explanations of just about everything that in, dare we say, the old days, Catholics agreed on. Pardon me. Catholics still agree on the truth. The trouble is, so many Catholics don't know what the truth is anymore. I hope you agree. I just saw a figure the other day. Our annual average in the United States, so this statistic said, is now 50,000 annulments every year among Catholics. Dear God. I know how well I know what's going on. How many people nowadays marry and really intend a lifetime commitment? One man, one woman until death. And really want children. Why then do we need to pray? We need to pray so that our faith will be clear. First of all, you'll be intelligent enough not to read everything readable. Has anyone ever told you that people tell lies in print? Have you ever been told that? We need grace to protect our minds from being confused. And if they are confused, to obtain through prayer the light we need so that we're not living in a constant supernatural fog. People tell me that they think nothing of it. They'll travel 30, 40, 50 miles on a Sunday morning to attend Mass and have a homily, which their Catholic instinct tells them is the Catholic faith. By the way, over the years I've told people that most people don't know, but I wear a bulletproof vest. And it has a little, I'm being facetious, it says, made in the Vatican. I wouldn't dare use this language unless I knew, and I assure you I know what's going on. We need prayer to lift the fog in our lives so we may be able to see what we've always believed. Do we still believe in confession? When again, one of the missionaries of charity telling me into one of last week that one of their parishes, every time the priest starts Mass, did I tell you this? He gives the people a general absolution. is the confession of sins to a priest and receive absolution in the sacrament. Is that an article of the Catholic faith? Did Jesus Christ institute, and hear the words, the sacrament of confession? With stress on confession. Yes. As I waited over a year to get an imprimatur in one of my manuscripts, because the censor of that diocese would not give me an imprimatur, because I said, that's what he told me, that Christ instituted the sacrament of confession. We better pray. We go on. Isn't it great to be alive these days? Now, certitude. We need prayer in order that our faith may be understood, that what we believe may be clearly seen, and that we would be sure of ourselves. My definition of a courageous will. A courageous will is one that has a convinced mind. Only convinced people are sure of themselves. Everybody else is a coward. But we've got to be sure. I may be perfectly willing to do whatever God wants me to do. If only I could be sure that God wants this. What then do we obtain through prayer? Through prayer we obtain that conviction and certitude of mind for which there is no substitute. It is convinced people that are courageous people. Everyone else is a coward. But I must keep praying. And no matter how much insecurity, uncertainty, they may be all around me, through prayer, I'm to be absolutely sure that what the church has taught over the centuries, she is still teaching as true. And that is why, on two occasions, I was called to Rome to do something, and we're going to say much more about this in our next class. When we start, we're going to have at least two classes on the Holy Eucharist. Well, the Holy Father is deeply concerned over the loss of faith among so many people in the real presence of Jesus Christ in the Blessed Sacrament. Where do you still find churches opened? Where do you still find people where genuflecting and, believe it or not, kneeling before the Blessed Sacrament? Somebody better be sure that my God become man, that Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, is on earth in the Holy Eucharist. And therefore, I better bend my knee, because with St. Thomas, I believe that Jesus Christ is my Lord and my God. When one Catholic church after another now has No kneelers. Who kneels anymore? Let me tell you, these conferences they'll be at most to a month. Well, let me tell you, my hope and prayer is that not because, dear God, not because of anything that I am telling you, but because your faith will be enlightened, that to remain faithful to Christ's teaching in today's world takes an awful lot of prayer. Without prayer, we cannot make it. And confusion thrice confounded. Until, as we now know, so many Catholics are going into protective custody. Where can I turn? What priest can I consult? What books can I read? Where can I send my children to school? Pray on the three levels of the divine faith.